The Rolling Stones are celebrating their 40th year together. The anniversary-related events include the re-release of the Stones' entire early catalog on Abco Records, remixed and remastered. In the first of a two-part series, rock historian Ed Ward talks about the band's very earliest days.
Sometime in London in the summer of 1962, above a long-vanished pub called the White Bear, a young man fought a lonely battle. He was trying to start a blues band in London. His name was Brian Jones, and he'd been encouraged by the man who almost single-handedly brought blues to Britain, Alexis Korner, a half-Italian, half-Austrian guitarist with the Chris Barber Band. During the intermissions, Korner and his harmonica-playing pal, Cyril Davies, would play songs they'd learned from old blues records, and this Jones kid would come up from the suburbs in Cheltenham to hear them. Eventually, the duo became a band, Blues Incorporated, and had a weekly gig in suburban Ealing. Their drummer was probably the youngest member, a jazz fan who worked at an ad agency, a job that bored him. His name was Charlie Watts. People came from as far away as Scotland to see the gigs at the Ealing Club, and eventually Brian wasn't hitchhiking from home anymore. He was sleeping under the Korner's kitchen table. We'd tell people, "Oh, don't mind him, that's just Brian," Korner's wife Bobby told me. He was calling himself Elmo Lewis, and would sit in for a number on slide guitar.
Too lazy to crow for day.
One night, a couple of school chums, Mike Jagger and Keith Richards, who had bonded over their mutual enthusiasm for blues and Chuck Berry, came to Ealing and were blown away by Elmo Lewis. After the show, they chatted with him, and he mentioned that he was starting a band, something Alexis Korner had urged him to do. Jagger had been fooling around with blues himself, and he gave Korner a tape. Before long, Blues Incorporated had a new lead singer, now calling himself Mick. Meanwhile, Brian put an ad in the magazine Jazz News for his project, claiming they had plenty of interesting work available and needed harmonica, sax, piano, bass, and drums. First to answer was Ian Stewart, a solidly built piano player with fine boogie-woogie chops. Guitarist Dick Taylor showed up at the White Bear, too. And in June, so did Mick and Keith, which meant Taylor switched to bass. Drummer Mick Avery completed the band. In July, Blues Incorporated was offered a spot on a television program on the same night as they would have played the Ealing Club, so Alexis asked Brian if his band could fill in. Oh, and did they have a name? Yes, the Rolling Stones. Before long, Brian, Mick, and Keith moved into a ratty flat near the King's Road in Chelsea, staying up late and playing Muddy Waters records. They had sporadic gigs throughout the fall, and in December 1962, things came together. First, Charlie Watts quit Blues Incorporated because he didn't think he was good enough. Second, an older veteran of several rock and roll bands, Bill Perks, showed up at a rehearsal above the Wetherby Arms around the corner from the boys' apartment. He was much better on bass than Dick Taylor, who wanted to play guitar. They let him go, and he later founded the Pretty Things. Charlie Watts, too, auditioned, and since they didn't have a permanent drummer, a band was born. By the spring of 1963, there was a club circuit in London for this music and a couple of other bands playing it. Jazz fogies didn't like it, but kids did, and they showed up in droves. Naturally, this sort of thing attracted attention. The Stones made a demo record and sent it to a couple of record companies, but were turned down. Then, a 19-year-old half-American kid with a lot of guts saw them in late April and immediately offered to be their manager. His name was Andrew Luke Oldham, and right away he made some changes. First, Ian Stewart was to become road manager and not play on stage because the band was too big. Second, Bill Perk's name change to Bill Wyman was a good idea. Third, Keith Richards would drop the S from his name. Fourth, the G went back on the end of Rolling Stones. Right, and now into the studio.
Everything was wrong since me and my baby parted. All day long I'm walking because I couldn't get my car started. Later from a job and I can't afford to check it. I wish somebody come along and run into it and wreck it. Come on, since me and my baby parted, come on. I can't get started, come on. I can't afford to check it. I wish somebody come along and run into it and wreck it. Everything is wrong.
It was too fast. The recording quality was awful. But this Chuck Berry song got to number 25 on the British charts, and the Rolling Stones were on their way.
Ed Ward lives in Berlin. He'd like to dedicate this piece to the memory of Alexis Korner. Later in the week, Ed reviews the Stones' re-released albums.